What is up, chumps? Welcome back to another installment of the Fantasy Chumps podcast. This is episode number 80 in our series. It should be a pretty brief episode. We kind of are throwing this in as a bonus. Our other episode was running a little long, but we still had a few things that we wanted to touch on. So I hope you all enjoy it. I think there will be some pretty insightful takeaways. But one of the segments that we teased previously was going off of one of the principles that Leighton made, which was drafting players in good offenses. And we wanted to kind of test that out to see if this is held up over time. So what we did in this study was go back and look at the top 30 wide receivers for fantasy purposes from last season and measured if the percentage of these receivers that were on top 12 offenses, which was also measured on points scored by those offenses. So the study, you know, offered some pretty interesting takeaways there. So good information nonetheless. And we also added another study, which was to see if it benefited wide receivers to be playing with a good quarterback. Our idea with this was that it's a little easier to predict offensive success as opposed to player success. So if you can identify which offense is going to be, you know, top 12 or top half in the league, that gives you a better chance of finding a top 30 wide receiver if you are able to identify which offense is going to, you know, be up there in the top third. So pretty interesting stuff there. We also go into covering some of the preseason week one performances that we saw. We kind of just focused on the quarterbacks that we saw last week. Although their, you know, their snaps were limited and most of them only played a series or two, we're just going to give some overreactions to what we saw, and kind of talk about the implications that this might have on some skill position players from those teams. So pretty quick episode, but some, you know, insightful stuff nonetheless. I hope you all enjoy it. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps, as well as on Twitter or X at @fantasy_chumps as well. All right, enjoy the episode. What is up, chums? Welcome back. It's a new day. It's a new podcast episode. How'd you guys sleep last night? Everybody well rested?
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Leighton, how was your 5-mile run?
Dude, I started an LLC before this. I'm ready to go.
Scrolled through the comment section.
Got a lot of productive comments back on my LLC, yep. So we're all good to go.
Good info.
Yeah.
Very good. Good to hear. Well, we won't waste anyone's time here, but we're going to hop right into it. So we kind of touched on it at the end of last episode. We teased a segment that we were going to do where we're reacting to some performances and storylines following the first. And this is what we do naturally as fantasy football experts. We see five snaps of starters in a preseason game and we're gonna react to it, and we're probably gonna have too much of a takeaway than we probably should. But so for this segment, really I just kind of wanted to focus on some of the quarterback performances we saw, not necessarily for quarterbacks as draft prospects for your fantasy drafts, but more of the impact that they could have on the overall offense and how they might impact more relevant fantasy players. So think really we're just going to roll through some of the QBs here, unless you guys have any other skill positions you wanted to highlight. Me personally, I didn't really see many of the skill positions out there.
I was at a preseason game, so we can talk about that after if you want.
Ooh,
well, let's talk about it now. What game were you at?
Let's get into it.
Oh, I was at the Cowboys-Jags preseason game. And I was actually paying attention for fantasy football purposes because I was really curious to see just how much Calvin Ridley was on the field? Because I feel like there's been a lot of hype about him, right? Or am I just making that up?
There's definitely a lot of hype around him.
He hardly came off the field. So, like, when they were in one wide receiver sets, he was the guy out there. Like, it wasn't Christian Kirk or Zay Jones. It was Calvin Ridley. Obviously, he only played, like, two series, so he only got, like, four catches. Mm-hmm. But I think...
It's a good sign.
It's a
did
good
he play?
Sign.
Were both series with Trevor Lawrence, or did Trevor just play one series?
No, Trevor played two series. Trevor threw an awful interception. I don't know why he threw it, but the second drive he led a touchdown drive and threw a touchdown to Zay Jones, I think, and then 2-point conversion to Evan Ingram or something like that. But I think Calvin Ridley could be a stud this year. And then Travis Etienne was really good. I thought Tank's Bigsby was good. The Cowboys was hard to analyze because the starters didn't play, right? None of the starters played. It wasn't a lot to take away.
So
I did find out that, you know how Mike McCarthy's calling plays?
Uh-huh.
Everybody's kind of worried about that. Apparently they're running a West Coast offense, like hurry-up style.
Interesting. And was that anything that they did in Green Bay when McCarthy was there?
They definitely ran West Coast, but I don't think they did the hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just interesting because, and I haven't heard this anywhere, which is kind of surprising, but Mike McCarthy said they need to score less points or keep the defense off the field longer. That was a quote.
A hurry up offense to do that?
But a hurry up offense, yes. And I didn't believe my friend who's a Cowboys fan I was with, and he's like, no, they're going to run hurry up. Just watch. And sure enough, Cooper Rush goes out there and they get a first down. They like kind of jog up to the line and snap the ball.
Like no huddling at all?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if that's something where, like, do you think that they will be like starting games like that? And as, you know, quarter progresses, they.
I can see that as like a halftime.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Coming out of halftime, run the hurry up for a series, maybe?
It was interesting because they.
Siri, stop.
John.
This is my
John, come
this is
on.
My Middle Eastern Siri going off on me.
But basically, if they're going to run like hurry up part of the time, that makes me feel a lot more confident about their offense, seeing where it plays off. So, you know, I was kind of down on the Cowboys offense. I might be back up a little bit based on that news and actually seeing it in person. So. The Jags offense did look good, even though it's just a vanilla game script. I think they'll still be pretty good. Calvin Ridley is definitely.
Yeah, I was going to say, with Calvin Ridley, you know, staying out on the field most of those snaps, do you think that's them just trying to work him into the offense since he was gone all year last year? Or is that how you see it going forward?
That's how I see it, because I think Christian Kirk's just going to operate out of the slot only. Mm-hmm. So if they have one receiver out there, like two tight end sets, I think Calvin Ridley will be the guy most of the time. So,
gotcha.
Do you guys like him this year?
I personally, he's one of those guys that I haven't really looked at that much. I will be evaluating throughout this week. But John?
Pretty much in the same boat. Like, I don't think I've drafted him just because I don't know what he is, and I don't know what a good guess is as to what
he's
going to be.
He's a wide receiver.
Yep, that is accurate. it's hard to. He's a hard guy to put a number on. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what he is though. He's in a contract year.
Oh. I feel like this is an exclusion to that stat. Isn't he, like, how old is he now?
He's, like, 28 or something, I thought. Yeah, 28.
Who cares?
So, Calvin Ridley is on sleeper ADP. He's going in the range of, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, Deebo Samuel, Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon. I feel like I would just be more comfortable with a lot of those guys other than Calvin Ridley. For where he's at.
He's definitely at risk. Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Especially Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, if I'm picking between Jahmyr Gibbs and Calvin Ridley, which I don't think you will be in most drafts. But if you are, if you take Calvin Ridley, happy trails.
Jameer Gibbs to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Was the preseason game an enjoyable experience, or was it was the game?
Yeah, what was the atmosphere like compared to like a regular season game?
I mean, it was definitely more of like, oh, we just want to kind of come for fun. But we had really good seats, and thanks to one of my friend's companies. So that was cool. Whoever puts up the like decibel meter, you know, like the defense on the field makes some noise. Those are total BS. They like threw it up there and it was at like 95. And I was like, there's no way it's 95 decibels in here. That's like a loud concert.
It's funny that you bring that up. I went to a minor league baseball game last Saturday. And it was the ninth inning, and like the Cardinals were up and it was 5-4, and it was like, all right, get loud. And like nobody made any noise, and the sound meter just kept going up and up and up on the scoreboard, and it was definitely,
it's going up because they're cranking the volume.
Yeah, right. but
well, that's cool. I've been to one preseason game in my life. It was a Chiefs game back in like, gosh, I bet it was like 2010 or something, and it was kind of fun, interesting. Interesting because it was so hot out, and you know, I'm not really used to that for a football game. It was like, it was uncomfortably hot, like being in a packed stadium and like having to go to the bathroom to like wipe sweat off your face. It was very strange, but I think it was,
didn't think you're in a safe face, so that's good.
We were the Chiefs were playing the Eagles, and actually it was when Andy Reid was coaching the Eagles, and we saw a little bit of Mike Vick play, so that was kind of
cool.
That's cool.
It was
all about the only thing that those games are good for. Like exactly. I looked at buying Chiefs tickets when they play the Browns, and it was like, they were just the tickets that I happened to scroll across. It was literally on Facebook. They were $77 a piece, and I was like,
what, for preseason?
Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't look any more into it on the Facebook post. They must have been like at the 50, like on the second row or something stupid.
Bro, I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah. It's just, I'm not going to pay $100 with parking to go watch two series of good football.
Weirdly, I've heard a lot of news outlets lately, like football news outlets. I don't know if they're like trying to, like if the NFL was wanting them to promote preseason games, but a ton of them are like encouraging people to go to preseason games, where it's like, you can go to a football game for $70 when a regular season game is going to be like 200 plus.
And so I'd rather pay the 200 and go to a regular
season game. I would rather save my money. I would save the 70 and put it.
That's gotta be Raja.
Yeah, definitely.
$31 for the Browns Chiefs is the cheapest ticket.
That's crazy. It, honestly, I would.
You can go. You live there.
You can.
I can. All right. I'll let you guys know.
Back to football that matters, but not really.
So let's get into this. So first thing I wanted to cover was the short glimpses we saw of some of the rookie quarterbacks from preseason week one, starting with C.J. Stroud, who went
CJ
2-for-4 for 13 yards and a really bad interception. But the Texans did end up winning.
Really bad.
Carried on the back by Davis Longneck Mills.
Tank Bell, what are you talking about?
What did you guys take away from CJ Stroud's performance from what we saw?
He looked nervous. I mean, granted, if it was my first NFL game, I would probably be nervous too. But I was going to mention this whenever Leighton was pumping up Calvin Ridley a little bit. I take their performance and I move them 10% one direction or the other. So if they blow up, great. They move up maybe 10% in my rankings. Also, like, you have to scale it. So take it for 10% of what it's worth, probably.
My biggest takeaway from this game was the fact that Dameon Pierce didn't play. So I think that shows they like him a lot. And based on how CJ Stroud performed, they might be a run heavy offense again.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, he threw four passes, so there wasn't much to take away there. But
three of them were completed.
Yeah,
pretty <That's> solid. <true. laughs>
Come on,
he throws a pretty catchable ball.
If, he does.
If you guys like that.
Lots of completions.
Next guy we can look at was Bryce Young, who was 4 for 6 for 21 yards in their game against the Jets. I don't know if you guys have been watching Hard Knocks, but this whole last episode was focusing on the Jets, like, training camp and, like, joint practice up to their preseason game. But we saw a little bit of Bryce Young in those episodes. He looks very small, but I thought he looked adequate in game. I think John, you were pretty impressed by him, weren't you?
Yeah, that football just had big hands. That's all that was.
He's not Kyler territory yet. Like, he's still got some size on Kyler. He'd back him down in the post.
Yeah, I'd love to see a backfield of Bryce Young and Deuce Vaughn just hammer it away. No,
we're gonna call it the can't ride the roller coaster.
Oh. Wow. They do not have season tickets to Disney World. So I actually thought Bryce Young looked really good. He looked comfortable in the pocket. He got leveled on his first ever pass attempt, which he completed to his own teammate. Breaking news.
Great success.
Well, I mean, in my defense, we are analyzing a 4 for 6, 21 yard stat line, but he actually
at least 2 first downs.
It's at least, yeah, he looked pretty good in the small sample size. So
yeah,
I was, I'm not going to say impressed. I was satisfied with what Bryce did.
I think that's a good word for it. And that's like, I mean, if you can get a quick eye test on any of these guys, for the little that we got to see them play, like Bryce Young, he looked like he could distribute the ball in the offense, which I think, like John was saying, I upgrade him 10% from where I had him before. CJ Stroud, he looked like his reaction time was slow. He wasn't really seeing the field that well.
He just wasn't probably ready for it.
Probably was a little nervous. So I'm probably downgrading him. Maybe I might even leave him the same, honestly, and just see what next week brings.
It was his first game. Yeah.
Yeah. The next guy that was kind of played a little bit more was Anthony Richardson on the Colts. He was 7 for 12 for 67 yards. Another interception that was kind of bad. It was a pretty aggressive play. He was trying to
don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't really mind it. But personally, I liked what I saw from Anthony Richardson. He looked really quick, and I thought his arm looked pretty good. So, Leighton, did you watch that game or look at his tape at all?
No.
This is actually the only one that I didn't see anything from. So I don't have any analysis on Anthony.
So no, I do actually have a little bit to say. I didn't watch it, but basically what I heard is that his highs were really good and his lows were just low. So he's still inconsistent, still trying to figure it out, but that's okay. For at least fantasy, I think he's by far the only rookie quarterback you should consider drafting.
I thought he looked quick. I thought he maybe tried to do a little too much at times from what I saw, just trying to make a play happen when it wasn't really there. He has the ability to extend the play with his legs and kind of avoid pressure, which he did really well at, but sometimes it might be better to just throw the ball in the dirt. So I think he'll learn from that going forwards. So was impressed with Anthony Richardson.
He did run twice. That's good.
So next kind of group I wanted to talk about was the situation in San Francisco, going for backup quarterback right now. We saw a lot of Trey Lance in that San Francisco game against the Raiders. Trey Lance went 10 for 15 threw for 112 yards and one touchdown. I don't know if you guys saw that touchdown.
We can't call it a touchdown, right?
It was insane. He threw it into triple coverage. The Raiders guy had it between his numbers, ended up losing it, hit it with his hand at the last minute, and it went to a receiver for the 49ers for a touchdown. And I should also mention Trey Lance got sacked four times during the game.
Dude,
did you guys watch Trey Lance at all? Any highlights from that game?
It was not good.
It was really bad. Like,
again, not one that you want to overreact to, though. Like,
I am overreacting to Trey Lance. I'm downgrading Trey Lance by 25%.
I think we know that Brock Purdy is the starter, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am almost in the camp where I think Sam Darnold Francisco.
Wow.
Well, the thing is,
I thought Trey Lance looked just slow from what I saw.
I have Trey Lance on my fantasy team or my dynasty team, and I'm really tempted to drop him after.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
Oof. It's you want to trade I don't for know him? If I would go there yet. Just I think San Francisco is going to give him more opportunities because they invested so much in him. I think his trial is this preseason. Like, if you don't see it in the next 2 weeks, I don't think you're ever going to see it in San Francisco.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
It's so true. They're not playing Brock Purdy because they don't want him to get hurt because they know he's the guy.
He's probably still recovering from his injury too, though, right?
Yeah, he just got cleared to practice with no off days, so that's good.
So, I mean, if you were drafting anybody from San Francisco, Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, do you like Brock Purdy? Are we all in agreement? Brock Purdy's the guy you want at quarterback if you have those guys?
Especially for Christian McCaffrey, 1,000%. Because Trey Lance can at least run, or at least we think he can run. So he might steal some, like, touchdowns. And instead of dumping it off to McCaffrey, he might just take off. I don't think Brock Purdy's doing that. So, yeah, I would prefer him or Sam Darnold. Never thought I'd say that.
What about you, John?
I don't know. It's so hard to – do we know what Brock Purdy is as a quarterback? I mean – really, do we feel like we have a solid understanding of what he's going to be in the league? I don't, personally.
I mean, what I feel like I do. I mean, I think he plays just a very, like, game manager. Just
do you think
the ball out where it needs to?
Alex Smith.
Good at it. Yeah.
I was going to say Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's what San Francisco needs, and I think that's probably what you want if you have any of those skill players.
Yeah, so I'll
roll with them. A lot of quiet behind that. Okay,
that was a long. Yeah,
sorry.
They're good enough to. They're good enough to rookie contract. It helps a lot. Like, the rookie contract is more important than his skill.
Like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's possible. The NFC is dog.
Yeah. Didn't they spend quite a bit to get Sam Darnold too, though? Am I making that up?
He was a free agent.
You are making that up. In terms of his contract?
Yeah. I thought he got like $4 or $5 million.
I feel like that's going rate for like a
for a
backup.
I mean, he's probably top market for a free agent quarterback.
No. I mean, he got a 1 year, $4.5 million deal.
I mean, I think seeing that's like,
so, okay,
you don't do that if you're confident that Trey Lance is an adequate QB2.
Not to overanalyze here, but do you think that points towards trading Trey Lance? The fact that they gave him that money.
That's probably getting too much into the weeds, but probably not, because I think they'd rather have him as their and just because they can afford it. Just have him as the third string quarterback just in case Brock and Sam get hurt. I think they'd rather just hang on to everybody.
Is there an NFL franchise that would give up a third round pick for Trey Lance?
No.
Do you think the Raiders would consider it?
No.
Huh. All right. Fair enough.
Interesting.
Because I think everybody that could trade for him and start him at quarterback. They'd rather just take their chances on whoever the heck they have and hope. And if it doesn't work out, then they'd rather just shoot for Caleb Williams.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. That was kind of discussing San Francisco. The next one, that one of the other guys we saw quite a bit from was Jordan Love with the Packers.
Get your love.
Went 7 for 10, only 46 yards, but had a touchdown. Pretty nice throw to Dobbs or whatever his name is. Yeah. I was pretty impressed with Jordan Love. I mean, for what we saw, he looked good in preseason last year too. Yeah, where are you guys at with Jordan Love and the Packers?
John, go ahead.
I don't really have much analysis other than my favorite thing about Jordan Love in the history of ever is when Andy Reid was asked about him in the offseason. And
didn't know who he was.
He didn't know who he was.
It's fair.
Just an all-time dog of a moment. Like,
big red.
I don't think in the NFL you could feel lower when arguably the best coach in the NFL right now doesn't even remember you when you started against him last year. I mean, 7 for 10, like, again, I'm not like Jordan Love doesn't move at all for me with this performance. I still think the Packers, first of all, like, I think they're hard to predict what they're going to be. They could be the worst team in the division. They could have a winning record. I mean,
can make the playoffs.
I guess they could make the playoffs somehow, but it's just a bad situation altogether. So it's one that you need to watch more. Like, the more that you see the offense, like the starting offense, the more that you need to see who's getting targeted and see how Jordan Love actually plays.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just think Jordan Love and the Packers offense will probably be better than media and outside perception.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and kind of why I've been paying such close attention to them lately is because I think the Packers offense could be definitely top half of the league, I think. And they're probably not projected to be right now. But
no.
That's enough of that. Kenny Pickett looked pretty good. 6 for 7, 70 yards and a touchdown. I don't really have a whole lot to say there. Just looks like Kenny Pickett's continuing to improve.
Big step up.
Deontay.
We saw Baker go 8 for 9 for 63 and a touchdown in the Bucks preseason game. I don't think there's any questions there that Baker's going to start week one over Kyle Trask.
No, he'll start.
Yeah. So, and then the other one was Sam Howell with the Commies, went 9 for 12, 77 yards and a touchdown. Have you guys heard all the Sam Howell hype?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I'm so in on it.
I kind of am too. The thing is that Jacoby's going to play at some point. I think he will.
I think if Sam Howell goes out and is good or average, I think he'll stay the whole year.
Ron Rivera has been too back and forth with him like throughout camp. And
Eric Bieniemy is hard-headed. He likes Sam Howell better. Which I think with EB, their offense is definitely going to be better. So
I've actually seen reports that like things aren't going well for Eric Berry with the players.
Bieniemy.
Or Eric Berry. Where did that come from? Did you say EB?
Yeah.
Okay. That was, wow, blast from the past. Yeah. I've seen tweets that there's been some player issues with Bieniemy already. So we'll see. That's nothing new for him, but it's something to follow.
So last one was, or I guess second to last, Russell Wilson. Kind of another guy I think you just kind of want to keep your eye on. You want some more data points with him. 7 for 13, 93 yards, one touchdown. I didn't watch any of this game. I heard that in the first couple series, though, the Broncos looked pretty rough offensively, looked out of sorts. And then there was a very questionable coaching decision at the end of the game by Sean Payton. I think, what was it? The Broncos were tied or down a couple points with like a minute to go at the 5-yard line. And they ran it in on first down instead of kneeling it and kicking a field goal and winning. So he's gotten a lot of backlash for that.
It's the preseason.
It's the preseason.
It's also the most Sean Payton thing ever.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So probably not the best thing to do in Denver right now after that fiasco of time management and coaching.
Can you imagine if that was like against the Patriots or something?
Dude, none of these
nightmare fuel.
I hope
none of these coaches care about the result of the preseason game. They just want to get more reps with the team. So if that, they're not going to practice the victory formation. So,
yeah, probably not. I think more coaches probably do want to win preseason. They're pretty competitive about it. Last one was the Saints. We all probably saw a little bit of that from when the Saints played the Chiefs last Sunday. Saints looked sharp in those first couple drives. I mean, they put a lot of starters out there, way more than I was expecting.
I've been saying it all offseason. Let me go way back. It was like 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. I said Derek Carr is going to the Saints. Nobody believed that would work out. Oh, they don't have any cap. Nah. And I said, no, he's going to go there. And then when he did, I was like, the Saints are easily winning that division. Not even close.
Yeah. Saints, again, I think their win total right now is like 10 games. Like that wow. is the over-under win line right now. It's either 9.5 or 10.
They're in such a weak division. They're almost my lock of the year to win the division. It's not going to be the Panthers, and it's not going to be the Bucks.
Falcons have a chance.
Falcons
have a chance, but do you trust Desmond Ridder?
No.
Somebody will have to keep track of, probably.
Yeah.
But I would agree with you, Layden.
Stinky.
I would honestly be curious if the Saints are the favorite to win the division right now, or if it's even close between them and the Falcons, because I think they should be favorited. But We did see a lot of starters from them play. Like, I was not expecting to see Kamara. I was not expecting to see Mike Thomas. I don't know.
Looked good.
Olave did play. I don't know if he really did anything.
No, he didn't get a catch.
Yeah, that's Michael Thomas did look pretty good. That's our overreactions to preseason week one when you get to look at a quarterback that threw four. Fate.
So. Nate, let's move on to the study you did.
Let's get some data. One of my favorite parts or times to get me amped up for the NFL season is when Hard Knocks drops. And so I've been kind of excited for this new Hard Knocks series following the Jets. When you're watching Hard Knocks, I did it with the Cowboys last year. I think it was last year was the Cowboys. Or maybe that was 2 years ago. I can't remember. But watching the Cowboys, they've got all the close-up cameras on players and whatnot. They get the behind-the-scenes footage, and it makes you like the guys even more because it's a more personable side of them. But I was curious if there was going to be any kind of a Hard Knocks effect as far as fantasy football goes. So if when you're watching Hard Knocks and you're watching – you know, Garrett Wilson cooking people in one-on-ones, or Breece Hall breaking a few tackles, or Aaron Rodgers just looking like a Hall of Fame quarterback. Seeing that up close in Hard Knocks would have any effect on their ADP for draft purposes. So last week I texted Layton and John at like 11:30 at night and was like, hey guys, I'm going to do a test. I was like, we are going to measure the Hard Knocks effect on some of these Jets players. So I jotted down their sleeper ADPs at the time right before the first episode aired. And I have a weekly update that we'll be tracking until the start of the season. So some of the big – I mean, we just kind of focused on the big names.
You have to put Dalvin Cook in there now, though.
I do. And I actually, so that's not really a Hard Knocks effect yet, because I don't think we've seen him on the show.
Well, that's perfect, because he'll get the bump for actually being on a team, and then when he gets on Hard Knocks, then he might get another bump. Right?
That's true.
That's the total of two bumps.
I think I should start tracking him now, because he's just entering Hard Knocks. Yeah. But, so yeah, I'll check that out for next week's episode. But
no worries.
Notable move so far, Garrett Wilson, before Hard Knocks aired, he was 19.9 ADP. He's now 19.4. So a tiny little bump there. Naturally, Breece Hall, who was at 29.8, dropped a couple spots with the addition of Dalvin. Honestly surprised it wasn't more than that. But something to keep track of. And then Rodgers is starting to move up as well. He was 109 before Hard Knocks started, and he's now 105 ADP.
In 2 weeks, Rodgers is going to be in the 80s.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
I don't know who he needs to pass to get to the next quarterback slot.
I got it.
He'd need to pass Anthony Richardson.
Oh, I wish I could throw money on that.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful. He wasn't good in Green Bay, but that's bad.
Yeah. He's below Tua, Dak.
My goodness.
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous. But, yeah, I just wanted to update everybody on that really quickly. I just think it's interesting because in Hard Knocks, you get to see him up close. You're very impressed by everything you see. But it's ridiculous to move them up in your ADP because of that. Because there are 31 other teams where the exact same thing is going on in their training camps.
But you just don't see it.
Yeah, you just don't. If this is an effect and we're starting to trend more and more, it's something to keep in mind that, you know, where you might be getting like a Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson is a lot richer than it should be. But you guys have any other comments on that, or are we going to wrap this brief one up?
Didn't we want to do the study we conducted this morning?
Yeah, you got your wide receiver data.
Holy cow. I almost forgot.
No, yeah. We woke up early for that.
That's right. Yeah, I calculated this all out this morning. All right. So what we teased in the last episode was we were going to look up it was kind of piggybacking off of one of Layton's points to see if, in fact, drafting wide receivers in good offenses, if that was
correlated to
top 30 wide receiver finishes. So we kind of expanded it a little bit from what we said. So we ended up looking at top 12 offenses because we saw more of a break in tiering after that. It looked like, 12, 11, 10, and 9 were all really close together. But then once 13 and 14 came up, there was a pretty big drop off. So we went through, found the top 12 offenses based off points scored last year, and determined that 19 of the top 30 receivers belonged to these top 12 offenses. So kind of interesting there. The whole idea with that was we think it's easier to predict who a top 12, top 10 offense is going to be rather than maybe a top 30 wide receiver. I mean, once you start looking into the, 22 to 30 range of receivers, that can be really hard to predict.
Didn't we also take into account the quarterbacks, or is that a separate thing?
That was a separate thing we did. Then we combined them. But yeah, so we also looked at to see how many of the top 30 wide receivers were paired with top 12 quarterbacks from last year. So we looked at top 12 quarterbacks based off fantasy finishes last year, and then just saw how many of the top 30 receivers were paired with them. Came out to 16. So 16 of the top 30 wide receivers were paired with those top 12 quarterbacks. So not a ton of information there. It's about 50-50. But then the next step that we did was we combined those two categories together. So if you can pick a receiver who is either paired with one of the top 12 quarterbacks or is on a top 12 offense, you about 21 of those top 30 wide receivers fit that criteria, if that makes
sense. That's crazy.
That is. So I think that's very valuable information. I think it's a little harder to predict maybe who the top 12 quarterbacks are, but although there's not a ton of movement there. But
also, yeah, like a noteworthy guy that is left out of that number is Cooper Kupp. He was hurt last year. There's also, I don't know, several guys lower towards the, like the bottom, like towards the 30 number that will probably regress this season. Like Zay Jones is included in there. Adam Thielen's included in there.
Dude, it's crazy. While you're still looking,
Juju.
It's crazy that Cooper Kupp finishes the wide receiver 23 and played in 9 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to highlight the separation between wide receiver. I think that's, sorry, I don't, where did Garrett Wilson finish last season?
Garrett Wilson was wide receiver 21.
So between 21 and 30, which was Thielen and Deontay Johnson, they're tied at 180 fantasy points. There's a difference of 34 fantasy points between those positions, which really, like, that's a blow up game and a half at that point. You know, like if one of the standard performances is a blow up game, it could even be just one fantasy performance. So there's not a ton of points that are separating those guys in that range as well. So they're all pretty comparable. Like once you get outside of the 20 guys on average that we're noting, it's kind of it's a very close range of scoring.
Yeah, totally.
I agree.
But yeah, I think that's pretty helpful information as far as if you're looking for a tiebreaker kind of when you're, you know, comparing two different guys, you could pick the one in the better offense and have a better chance that they're going to be a top 30 receiver, basically. I was going to also point out that as far as the receivers that were in a top 12 offense, like Debo was left off that list. I think if he would have been healthy, he and IU could have very easily finished top 30 together. So there were a couple other little instances like that in there. But I think it's a good point that you made, Layton.
Yeah, it's just interesting to look at because then I look at the rankings this year and like T. Higgins and Devontae Smith are wide receiver twos on their team and they're like really high, 28, 30 overall, just in terms of the rankings as of now on mock drafts. And I always thought that was really high because they're the second option, won't get as many targets as guys behind them. But after looking into that, it makes me, I guess, think about it a little more and maybe we'll go a little bit more in depth.
Totally. Yeah, I think you're correct there. Guys, anything else? Any closing comments?
John?
I'm excited for fantasy football. Breaking.
Guys, we have the draft next week. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's on Tuesday as well, so we'll
let's go. It's my time to draft Max Duggan, number one overall.
You want to do a live episode while we're drafting, Layton?
No, I don't want everybody to.
The listeners
way too much pressure.
No, I don't want everybody to see me getting hot and heavy on the rookie draft.
Yeah, we'll probably schedule it for after so we can give you guys an update of what went down.
Oh, everybody knows what's going down.
Are we going to record one next week too? A little post dynasty episode and then a little pre main league. Yeah.
I'm down for that, honestly.
Yeah.
We can talk about who we're targeting in every single round.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Totally.
I'll just fork over my entire draft board.
I would, but you know.
Really? Whatever. Would you?
Yeah.
All right.
I got last year this. What's he going to do?
Will you give me your rookie draft board as well then?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do the top six for you.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, on that note.
All right, let's wrap this one up.
let's get out of here.
All right. Thanks, guys. And we will catch you guys next week. Good luck drafting.
Thanks, guys.